Hallelujah. Go ahead. Go ahead and give him any praise that you feel, that you desire. Oh God, hallelujah, I praise you. And even when we don't feel like it, Lord, we know from our experience and in our thoughts and in the knowledge of that we have of you that you are worthy of praise. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wonderful presence of the Lord. And in honor to the word of God, would you join together standing? And if you would, those of you at home, if you can, join and stand together. For some today, this message could serve as a wake-up call. Maybe for a few, and I was almost hesitant to say this because we're so used to hearing about God and his word, but it could be that for somebody, especially in light of a broadcast being able to go around the world, it could be a first time experience for somebody. But really, where I was directed today is for others, many of us, this message to be an encouraging affirmation of something we already believe. We have believed this truth for many years. While some have been afraid of it, afraid of being labeled as pie in the sky or an escapist believer or preacher, but you have believed it for a long time. And for some who are elders, since your very young years, you have believed this truth. You've held on to it for many years. And I would just say from the beginning, keep holding, keep believing. I know this is why God has given me the message today, to affirm that belief and affirm you and encourage you to keep looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A Jewish rabbi by the name of Rav Wolfson made comments regarding end time events, and especially he was directing his remarks to the nation of Israel, but they fit for us. Quote, "Why are we quiet? Where is the awakening? Why is everyone apathetic? Why is everyone busy with silly and unimportant things?" the rabbi said. "Do we not hear the alarm? There is an urgency from God prompting us today to acknowledge, to believe, to respond to, and have hope. Jesus is coming again. My assignment is to scare no one today, but I should convince you. That's my assignment today. He has called me to establish or reestablish in your hearts and minds the truth that his coming is a reality. Hebrews 10 and 37, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." One translation, it literally is translated, "He that shall come, the comer." The comer is coming. The one who promised it, and he lives up to every word, even the word coming. And I preach to you today, he will come. He will come. You may be seated. And after you're seated, I want us to pray together that we would be encouraged and affirmed and believe, yes, as never before, that the Lord is coming. Would you agree together right now? Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you that not one word of yours ever falls to the ground and is wasted. But your word is true, and the seed of your word will find its planting place today. And I pray that out of that seed of your word will come a greater hope and a newly established faith and resolve to be ready for and to look forward to your coming. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's not a matter of if he is coming. It could be a matter of when. The hour is uncertain, but the truth is very certain. The writer of Hebrews said it, yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. The writer was emphatic. I believe God is wanting to put that emphasis in our hearts to erase any measure of doubt that anybody might experience, and then also to resist any doubt that you may be attacked with by the comments of society or the comments of others. The writer was emphatically definite. He that shall come will come. And say it in your spirit. Say it in your thoughts and in your minds. We are constantly bombarded with the negativities and the unbelief concerning many parts of the Word of God, including this one. And so we need to be intentional to remind ourselves and talk to ourselves and teach ourselves and maybe, yes, even preach to ourselves at times to say, yes, the Lord is coming. The writer in Revelation said, the one that testifies these things saith, surely, or definitely, or certainly, I come quickly. And then he adds another definite word at the end of that, amen, which means verily, or let it be so very true. In fact, as Jesus was ascending that day and going away, an angel said to those there, why are you standing gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus who has stayed true to his word, disciples, during these last 3 years you have been with him. This same Jesus who has been with you and who has never failed you. The same one that was dependable and still is just as dependable. And he helped you through storms. And he helped you through difficulties. This same one that healed sick bodies when you prayed. This same one that will do what he promises always and always keeps his word. The angel said, this same one who has such character of integrity and honesty and truthfulness, if he says he's coming back, he will be back. And angels don't lie. Heavenly angels don't lie. And he said, and we could rehearse those same things, the same Jesus that came alongside you in your home or in your automobile when you needed the touch of his presence and you needed the strength, you needed his help and power. That same Jesus, he said, you're seeing him go away now, but that same one's coming back. That one we're worshiping this morning in this service, one of these days we're going to worship him and we're going to be as close as you and I are to one another. He is coming, this same Jesus. James said, be patient, my brothers, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it. Everybody in here probably has heard a message about the coming of the Lord. Many of you online, and perhaps there is one or maybe a very few that has never heard it. But we have heard it, and when I read that term, that phrase has long patience. We have heard it sermon after sermon. and we have sung it song after song, and we have heard it testified about testimony after testimony, and we've had conversations about it, and we've thought about it when we read the news headlines and heard what was happening. Have, he said, you've had long patience. I preach to you today, you have had long patience, but keep waiting for that coming. Keep waiting until, he said, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts. Establish your hearts in that belief that you have always believed that the Lord, the coming of the Lord, draws near. You can be sure Jesus is coming again. He will come. There are laws of nature. It doesn't do any good to argue with those laws of nature. Jesus knew that. And in his very adept way of teaching, he used some analogies of nature to talk about his coming. He said in Matthew 24, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, in other words, when it is ready for there to be a blossoming, when it is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. Watch what he said there. You know. You're not scratching your head. You're not saying, now we may say, I wonder when summer's going to get here. I wonder when warmer weather's going to get here. You know, we're kind of anxious about that when we come out of our winter. Yeah, but we know spring is coming. We get impatient with the timing. Kind of the way we may get impatient with the coming of the Lord. We're ready for it. We're ready for it. But Jesus said this, you know. I can't help but think that he must have felt good to be able to say that. You know that spring is coming. You know that summer is nigh. So likewise, he said, when you see all these things, and he was talking about current events of that day and teachings he had given, he uses that word again. He said, when you see these things, no, don't doubt it. Don't worry about what people are saying. Don't worry that somebody might accuse you of seeing too much in the signs that are around you. He said, you know that it is near, even at the door. I want to come alongside you, stand shoulder to shoulder, and whatever is trying to push you off of the rock of your belief in any of the apostolic doctrine, including the doctrine of his coming, let's lock arms. We're going to stand together and say, we know he is coming. The same parable in Luke 21. He said, look at the fig tree and look at any tree. When they shoot forth, you see and know. Hallelujah. They're getting ready to bud. Some may already be. The further south you go, they're getting some blossoming and some budding already. And maybe there are some blossoms and blooms starting to happen already. But I pray that every time we see that happening here this spring, when a new leaf pops out, Jesus is coming back. That's what Jesus said. When that flower bulb opens up and the beauty of that yellow or pink or red or whatever color it is comes out on that bush or on that plant, Jesus said, you know. You do see and you know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. And in verse 31, he said, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And then he said, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but these words, my words shall not pass away. It is true. I thank God that I've been taught. I thank God that I've been sung to. I thank God that we have heard time and again, the Lord is coming back. And I say to you, you're believing the right thing. As surely as nature takes its course, Jesus is going to come. As surely as it will get dark, I'm thankful it's later this evening because of the time change and the seasonal change, but as sure as it will get dark this evening, that will follow the light of this day, it will grow dark. There's none of us puzzling here, are we? Saying, I wonder if it's going to stay. I wonder if the sun will be out at midnight. We know how nature works around here. We know how day, night follows day. And tomorrow, at I think sunrise is somewhere in the 7 o'clock hour, tomorrow, there's going to be light in the sky. It's the rays of the sun. And if it's not out, it's going to shine behind those clouds. More sure and more definite than darkness following the light that's out there right now. And the light that's going to follow that darkness, more sure. When you see the sun tomorrow, when you see light tomorrow, say, Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming. If we don't doubt about those things, and we don't, we're not going to move and doubt about the coming of the Lord. He said, I'm coming back. Throughout Scripture, the Lord talks about the labor and the birth pains of the world and its conditions. And just as certainly as childbirth will occur following 9 months of life and growth in the womb, and the signs that happen, the lady's body responds to the coming birth of a baby. And there is the associated pain. And I'm out of my league right now, but you ladies know what I'm preaching about. The associated pain in the days and months prior, and then right there at the time of the birth. You could not convince an expecting mother that she wasn't about to have a baby. You just try it. Some of us be around to pick you up off the floor afterwards. We do know that. We do believe that. And if we believe that, he said, this creation is groaning and is in travail. And there are some earth pains that are happening. And here is the explanation for all of the signs and the world events. The explanation for all of those signs on a mother has one answer. There's about to be the birth of a baby. The explanation of all the signs and world events that are around us has one answer. He will come. Woo! I want to literally shake off doubt this morning. And I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about myself. I gotta believe this with all of my heart, and I want you to shake it off as well. We've gotta shake off any doubt and say, I know that he said it and he will come. Folks, we are not guessing about world conditions. We see them happening all around us. I won't mention them all, but the treatment of Israel would be one of them. The passage continually of policies that protect enemies of Israel and punish Israel. The call for the annihilation of Israel. Phrases like wiping them off of the face of the map. No wonder, you see where all that lines up with. You read about it in the book of Revelation and the book of Joel. How nations are gathering together in the valley of Jehoshaphat, in the valley of the army of Gedeon. And the nations surround the city of Jerusalem. One man made this statement. Israel faces a dead end and will, under God's grace, be wiped off the map. Israel is a cancerous tumor, he said. They had a military parade, carried slogans that read, Israel must be wiped off of the map. These are some of the pains of the travail of a world that has turned its back in general upon God and upon God's people. In March of 2016, Iran tested a ballistic missile and had painted on it the phrase, Israel should be wiped off the face of the earth. When you read in Revelation about nations gathering against Jerusalem, I don't like reading that. I don't like what's happening to Israel. But it's one of the signs of the end of the ages and the end of time. And so the treatment of Israel is a sign to us. It's like that leaf starting to bud on the tree. And it's more than started. There are already several leaves on that branch. And then the calling of evil. Here's what Isaiah said. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Are we seeing that today? The exact fulfillment of this phrase in Isaiah 5 and 20. It is the goal of some elements of our society in America and in other places to celebrate sin publicly and to disparage traditional biblical values. And they call that bigotry. And they call that hate speech. When a believer takes a stand for biblical truth, for morals, or for godliness, it's labeled as being angry. It's labeled as being bigotry. It's labeled as being unjust or hate speech. Today, a Bible understanding of sexuality is ridiculed as being outdated. And it's even viewed and been termed that it is dangerous. Our belief in the creative power of God and how he created male and female, people are saying, you are dangerous, and that belief is dangerous. It's a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. I just want to come back and say, you have been believing the right thing all along when you believe the signs of the times are shaping up and the Lord is soon to come. I thank God for the free exercise of our faith and religion here, and it's protected by the U.S. Constitution, and people, they are challenging that. When a congressman, Greg Stube from Florida, read a few lines of scripture regarding human sexuality on the House floor, he then spoke against the Equality Act, which since that time has been passed and is a very dangerous thing. It passed during that House debate. Here is what he said. The gender confusion that exists in our culture today is a clear rejection of God's good design. Thank you, Representative. Here's what he said. Whenever a nation's laws no longer reflect the standards of God, that nation is in rebellion against him and will inevitably bear the consequences. And the chairman of the committee, Gerald Nadler, responded after he quieted the House and he redressed Representative Stube, leaning in to what he said was the constitutional separation of church and state. Nadler pushed back, and here is what he said. Mr. Stube, what any religious tradition describes as God's will is no concern of this Congress. The tree is budding. In fact, it's doing more than budding. Today I see leaves all over that fig tree. And we preached and you believed that that fig tree is going to bud. And these signs, we're not going to stick our head in the sand. We're not some alarmists. We're not some conspiracy theorist. But we do know what God said. We do know what values are. And it doesn't matter what politician, it doesn't matter what preacher for that matter, it doesn't matter what denomination takes another direction. God's word is true, and his doctrines and those values are true. And the reason we're seeing such a strong challenge is because Jesus said it is going to happen. Sinfulness. Jeremiah said it. Verse 15 of chapter 6, he said, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. That is a description of people's view of sin, unashamed, flagrantly flaunted everywhere in society. Movies and sitcoms and books and in public venues and on discussion panels, everywhere. Were they not all ashamed? Jeremiah 6 and verse 15. Neither could they blush. And the very next verse talks to all of us. He said, thus says the Lord, stand ye in the ways. See and ask for the old paths. Woo. Hallelujah. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't make it right. That's what he's saying right there. Just because it's all around and people will smirk and smile at you for taking the stand for traditional biblical values. Why? Because they don't even blush at the sinfulness of their lifestyle and their actions. But Jesus said, it's a sign of my coming. Here's what Paul taught when he was teaching about the last days. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Now this shook me. He said, if it was already at work back there, how much more? And that term iniquity, the mystery of iniquity, is literally translated the mystery or the principle of lawlessness. Lawlessness. And when you hear or when you read, and it's heartrending the way humans treat humans. The defiance of civil and safety authorities, our police, our other entities. The disrespect for our nation and flag and leaders. The seizing and the destruction of city streets and buildings and businesses. All of that is that mystery of lawlessness. The enemy would like to put another label on it. It's just how we feel. Would like to justify it. Well, we are expressing our values and our opinions. But it is what it is. Lawlessness. There is even lawlessness in some so-called laws. For instance, the legality of murder of unborn lives. Lawlessness. And he said, it's already working. It's already there. It's a sign that's being fulfilled right before our very eyes. You are not wrong to think these are signs of his soon coming. The signs are speaking to us and telling us he will come. It is so possible to think in a mindset of doubt. I tell you, to believe in biblical values, I'm not whining about this, I'm just stating reality here. It's like walking upstream in a strong river that is flowing downstream, and you are trying to walk upstream by what you believe and what you say and the way that you live. So do not minimize any sign or any prompting of the Lord. Please hear me right now. Do not minimize those signs that I just listed and many others that there are. Do not minimize when God deals with and speaks to you about his coming. Do not minimize his stirring of your thoughts. And there'll be times when you almost feel like, I've got to talk to somebody about this. I've got to get this out. Not just to make yourself look like you're a big prophet or some great revelation, but you just know the Lord's been dealing with me. The Lord's been talking to me. Don't minimize his stirring of your thoughts during times of prayer. Do not minimize messages that are a trumpet blast of warning that pierce a comfortable mindset and a heart set, and really that goes against the grain of the way society is thinking and believing in this day and time. It is a very dangerous place. While we say we believe is coming, our response or lack thereof could say, really tell the story. He is coming. You have believed it. And look, Jesus gave a parable in Luke 12. He talked about one of the servants. I don't know all of the reasons for this, but the servant said, the Lord has delayed. He didn't really say he's not coming, but he did say it's probably not going to be very soon. And Jesus gave a parable about that very thought pattern and about that mindset. I appeal to everybody, those of you watching, those of you here, from the heart of your pastor, I appeal. Don't let a mindset of delay. It may not happen, or it will not happen. And here he said, if that servant in verse 45, look where he says it, in his heart. He didn't even say it out loud, and Jesus said, but there's trouble, there's trouble. When we start thinking in our heart, oh, it's not all that important. Whoo, I feel the weight of eternity in this building right now. It's going to make a difference how we respond to the message of his coming. It's going to make a difference, an eternal difference in our life. When the servant felt like the Lord was, I won't go all through the story, but when he started feeling like the Lord delayed his coming, he began to do things that he normally wouldn't do. Just be careful about setting the coming of the Lord up on a shelf. We could find ourselves believing something or participating in something that we would not have normally thought of or thought ourselves to be a part of. Here's what the Apostle Peter said about it. He said, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, when you see all these signs, what manner of persons ought you to be? How should we be thinking? What should we be doing? How should we be living in this day and in this time? Oh God, I feel an incumbent responsibility on me. Parents, you have it on you too. A watered down message of any Bible truth, including his coming, can give a false sense of security. Oh, it's not urgent. It's delayed. Or we have plenty of time. No. The Lord can come, or our life can go just like that. I just heard the account just a little while ago of a 21-year-old young man who went out into eternity. Probably if you would have asked him or his family, they probably had some plans that reached beyond a 21st birthday. I'm just saying, pray every opportunity you get. The answer to that, how should we be? What manner of persons ought we to be? Pray every opportunity that you get. Get in his presence. Many times that can be at the house of God, but it also could be at home and during your day. Every chance you have, meet God. Meet God. What manner of persons? Brother Jason, would you mind putting that back up there? I want that to go into our hearts. Get in his presence fast. Seeing all these things, but it's often he talked about the burning up and how some end-time conditions would take place. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy behavior and godliness, fast, pray, read his word, hold to his truth. the true doctrine. Hold to what His Word says. Many of us have been blessed to be raised in the context of truth. We've had it taught in our homes and in our Sunday school classes. We've heard it preached and we've heard it sung. A song came to my mind the other day. I won't have you sing it right now, Chris, but if I could sing, I'd just sing it right out here. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy, we'll welcome His returning. It may be at morn. In fact, I do want to sing it, Chris. It may be night or noon, but I know. The songwriter knew. He said, we know. There's not a doubt in APC's DNA. Whoa, I'm glad I'm connected to you and identified with you. We know. It's coming. We know. Sing it, Chris. Taught in those Sunday school classes, what you were singing as a child, what we were just singing, hold on to it, He's coming. Hold on to your dedication points of holiness, your behavior, your speech, your dress, your appearance, what you allow into your life through media and at home. Hold on to this truth, because He will come. What I have experienced was not a locked door, but a closed door. And so I have knocked today. You didn't lock me out, but I needed you to open the door for my spirit to convict and to touch and to affirm your life. I did not run into a brick wall today. But there was a veil, a drapery. And so I have just parted the drapery so that I could step through onto the stage of your personal life, because I want you to know me in my fullness, and I want to be center stage in your life. So if you will allow, I want to fellowship, talk with, touch you today. And in that experience, there will be preparation for the day that you have been hearing about, saith the Lord. Oh, let's thank him for his word. Thank you, Lord. I receive it, Jesus. I receive it, Lord. Would you stand together, please? And I want us to take a time of prayer. You can do it right where you are, or if you want to come to the front of the building. And I want us just to have the opportunity at least. The world has worked on us, tried to work on us, has worked on us. Sometimes to even wear a response to the coming of the Lord. He has made us tentative about responding or how we respond. Let's just make this place a tabernacle of prayer and preparation for the next few moments. Oh God, yes, yes. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for your affirmation, God. Thank you for a confirmation. Plant our feet on the strong rock of your word and the truth. Every apostolic foundational stone, help us to stand on it. And in particular today, God, this one, that you're coming, and that coming calls for preparation on our part, in our personal lives, and then to help and reach to others. Oh God, help us to be able to open the eyes of others with a mention or an explanation of signs, promises of your word, family members, loved ones. Go ahead. He's talking to hearts. He's talking to you about somebody that you will encounter or that you should encounter. That's right. Go ahead. God would want to be sensitive to you. I don't want anybody to go into eternity. And I should have talked to them. God, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it, God. I don't want to miss it. God, I want to see more clearly your signs. Recognition, the revelation. Thank you for the way this church has been taught since its inception, God. Firmly, definitely, clearly hearing the clarity of the truth that you are coming. Jesus. Oh. Right, just offer yourself from wherever you are right now. Yes. Oh, Jesus. but so are you, Lord. Ooh, Jesus, you are with us. You're in control. Heavy line in the middle. Whatever you have to do to me, it will be worth it. We need to be able to say that. Not saying it sounds a message, sends a message the same way. Saying it sends a message. True believers don't make that statement to brag about their spirituality or to try to claim that I've got everything under control or I'm ready. But it's a desperation. I gotta be ready. I gotta be ready. All of us have had things to happen in our lives. We did not understand them. I believe that many of the things that happen in our hearts and minds that are set toward God in faith are preparations for us. The tough things, the losses. I didn't want to lose Roy. I didn't want my mom to have cancer. But I will tell you, in the midst of all of those, there was some soul searching. There were some alignments and some corrections. We're not asking for tragedy. And God's too good a God to say, well, you said that, whatever you have to do to me, then here goes. He's too good of a God to act like that. He just wants to know. He just wants to know, how much does my coming mean to you? Huh? how much does being ready for it? I believe it means the world. And in a moment, folks, everything's going to change. Woo! Hallelujah. Do we get disappointed about some of the decisions in our world and in our government and laws that are back? Yeah, we do. But God's in control. And everything's going to change in one moment. Sickness. Sister Paula's here today. Struggled the last several weeks. But no more sickness, Sister Paula, over there. Hallelujah. Hold on to your faith. And you don't know what you're facing, but you've held on to God. Keep holding. Little Monica was over here today in the first service. Brother Barry's daughter. Oh, that man is an emblem of faith and faithfulness. Carries that little body, that 30-year-old body in here. I heard her coughing today during the service, her respiratory system trying to work right. Monica, in a moment it's going to change. Bobby Jackson, woo, in a moment it's going to change. Carry your burden, friend. Carry it faithfully. One of these days he's going to lift it. Serve the Lord with faithfulness. One of these days there's going to be a reward. It's going to be worth it. Would you stand right now? Would you thank him for the hope of his coming? Would you let out your voice of a thanksgiving for his coming? Oh, Lord, I thank you for the hope. It's a hope. It's a hope. It's a hope.
The promise of Scripture that in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we will go to be with Him. I'm thankful for the hope that was preached to us today, the confidence that we can say those three words with in the middle of all other conversations that may be going on around us or going on in our minds, the context and the situations of our lives. We can say those three words: He will come. He will come. He will deliver. And I'm so thankful. Thank you, Pastor, for reminding us of that today, for securing our faith to the Word of God, securing our faith to what God has in store for us. We can be confident and sure of that. Thank you, Jesus.